The message I have this morning is entitled, It's Beginning to Rain. I want to try and not theorize or theologize certain things. I just want to try and be practical. But it's beginning to rain. And without stating the obvious, we're in a drought. Who's noticed that? We're in a drought. We need rain. But I think greater than the drought, the physical drought, we're in spiritual drought. It's like the church seems to be losing its voice. We're not addressing certain issues that are arising in the community and around about us. We need the rain of God's Holy Spirit. Amen. We need it. A pastor prayed the following. He said, sometimes the picking in my spiritual bean patch is pretty slim. Sometimes I feel like a dried raisin and not a plum grape. Father, I need the outpour of your Spirit. You know, the thirst is one of the greatest needs man has. And I pray today that we'll develop such a thirst for the precious Holy Spirit. Amen. It's only the rain that can break the drought. And who gives the rain? God. He's the rainmaker. He's the rain giver. My mother was quite a dramatical person. She wanted to be an actor. She was quite dramatical. As a lad, I went and got a packet of beans. You know, those ones that you plant. And we had a rockery, and I put the beans all over the rockery. All over. Then I put it against the hedge, and I put it here and there in the garden. Then I still had a handful, so I just threw them in the flowers. And I forgot about it. I was a lad. I was a young guy. And it rained that season. And it rained, and it rained, and it rained. One bright sunny morning, my mother got up to pick some flowers. And she said, beans, 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 beans everywhere, beans. And then I remembered, I forgot about the beans. No second in Mulukate. And mom, I went outside, I said, Mom, what's wrong? She said, just look at the beans. And even I was surprised. She says, go get the dish. And they had a bumper. We had a bumper crop of beans. We had bean stew, beans this, beans that. I was the hero, the bean king. You see, the rain caused those beans to grow. And maybe like this pastor, we don't have to have a pretty slim bean pick in our lives. There's something about the rain. It feeds the plants, the grass, the animals, everything. It's like the nitrogen cycle is complete. You know, you can stand with a hose pipe. Well, you're not allowed to anymore, but you can stand with a hose pipe, but let it rain. Everything is green. And they say it's something to do with the nitrogen cycle. And when God's Spirit reigns, it brings about the change. Amen. Amen. And there comes a time in our lives where we might face drought. Drought in relationships, drought in our money, drought in our health, and the list can carry on. And I want to let you know today that the Lord is the one that controls the rain. In Deuteronomy, he sets a principle. Deuteronomy 11, verse 13 to 35. And it shall be that if you earnestly obey my commandments. I want you to listen to this. It says, it shall be if you earnestly obey my commandments, which I command you today, to love the Lord your God, and to serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul, then I will give you your land rain in its season, the early rain and the latter rain, that you may gather your grain, your new wine, and your oil. And I will send grass in the fields for your livestock that you may eat and be filled. Now, yes, the principle. If we obey God, do His word, love Him and serve Him with all our hearts, He will do His part. He will cause the rain to fall. To understand what the scripture is saying about the early and the latter rain, we need to understand the agricultural structure of Israel. There were two rainy seasons. The early rain in the month of February, March, where it rained, and then the latter rain in autumn, more about September time. And they would first prepare the soil and sow the seed, then the early rain would come. It would rain for 2 months, and the seed would sprout and grow. Then there was the dry season, and then came the latter rain. And that would complete the growth cycle, and then would be the harvest. It was like the Lord set that pattern, the ideal climate for agriculture. And Israel depended upon that. And the Lord said, I will keep that system going if you obey and serve me and love me and do my commandments. It seems to me there is, with God's blessing, three things. The first is personal. They had a personal blessing. They had a harvest. That they received money, their family was blessed, they were prosperous. Then there is a local blessing. As you prosper, as I prosper, as we all work, there's a combined pool effort. We spend in the shops, we go there, we do. Then there is a national combination and growth. And I want to say to you today, we need to understand that God Almighty is the one that causes the rain to come. Amen. And we need the rain. We need to know that. We need to know and believe with all our heart. If I trust God and I do right in God's eyes and I serve the Lord and I love the Lord, He will cause the blessing. You need to know that. You need to know that trusting and relying on God is the key. How did you put it this morning, Corbus? Faith sits, walks on the shoulder of trust. Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible. 176 verses. If you can't sleep at night, read Psalm 119. It's a tremendous psalm. It's divided into 22 sections because there's 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. Each section that starts, like, say, with a leaf of Beth, each section has 8 lines. And this psalm gives 8 synonyms to the Word of God. To the law, it's law, precepts, statutes, words, commandments, testimony, judgments, and ordinances. And as you read Psalm 119, no matter where you go, one of these synonyms for the Word of God will appear. And what happens when you obey that and keep that and go for it? Your word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. And so you read Psalm 119 with this in mind. It's absolutely powerful. I preached once on Psalm 119 and I said to my congregation, let's be spiritual and learn the psalm. And I challenged them. I got to verse 68. One little Chinese lady in our church, she quoted the whole Psalm 119. And it's a difficult psalm to read because it's not a rhythmic, you know. I heard in Thailand they started a Bible school, but because it's underground, too many people came. So they said, listen, everybody, this was Friday, that can recite Psalm 119 on Monday can join the Bible school. Do you know that every single person did it? The hunger for the Word. What guarantee do we have if we obey God's Word that He will bless us? It's based upon His Word. He says it. Psalm 1. Turn with me to Psalm 1. Blessed is the man. Now, verse 1 tells you what not to put in your mind. Who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, or stands in the way of sinners, or sits with the scornful. It tells us what not to put in our mind. Verse 2 tells us what to put in our mind. In his law, he meditates day and night. Amen. What to put in your mind, the word of God. What happens, verse 3, when you put the word of God in your mind? It says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of living water that bringeth forth fruit in his season, whatever whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Isn't that awesome? And we are talking this morning and looking at the lack of rain. And God wants the rain to be poured out. Hosea chapter 6, verse 1 to 3. Come, and let us return to the Lord. For he has torn, but he will heal us. He has stricken, but he will bind us. After 2 days, he will revive us, and on the third day, he will rise up again. We know that's referring to the resurrection. That we may live in his sight, let us know and let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. His going forth is established as the morning, and he will come to us like rain, like the latter rain and the former rain. You cannot have harvest without the rain. The latter rain and the early rain. The pattern set by God. I want you to turn with me to Joel chapter 2. Verse 23. Behold then the children of Zion. Rejoice in the Lord your God. For he has given you the former rain and the latter rain faithfully. And he will cause the rain to come down for you. The former rain and the latter rain in the first month. And your threshing floors shall be filled with wheat, and your vats shall overflow with new wine and with oil. Then he carries on to say, he will restore the years the locusts have eaten. There's a deeper issue when you start to study the word of God regarding the latter rain and the earlier rain. There's restoration for the nation. Then it also speaks about a greater issue that's going to take place in the coming years at the end of the time. And it says here in verse 26, and it shall come to pass afterward that I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your old men shall dream dreams. And your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants will I pour out my spirit in those days. I believe the Lord is making the church attentive to the drought. Spiritually, physically. It's a lesson that we are learning. And I believe as we seek the face of God, we're going to see some things happen in these days. Amen. Now, in James chapter 5, verse 7 to 8, he says, therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it and until he receives the early and the latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. The coming of the Lord is at hand. I firmly believe in my heart God is preparing his church for a great event. There's going to be an outpour of God's Spirit. Bill Hammond, in his book, The Eternal Church, makes this statement. He says, the early rain was the revival that was poured out in Azusa Street in the beginning of the last century, where Pastor Seymour and all these guys, the Holy Spirit fell. And for weeks and years on end, they had everyday services. People were baptized in the Holy Spirit. There was signs and wonders and miracle. That revival spread to Wales, spread to South Africa with John G. Lake. revival all over, a great move of God's Spirit. The Pentecostal movement was it started, and it was an incredible move of God's Spirit. Then there came the dry times. It was the dry season. And in 1948, Bill Hammond says the latter rain fell. The glossolalia, the speaking in other tongues, was poured upon certain Catholics. And there was a move of God's Spirit in such a way that denominational walls were broken down. And you suddenly have in a church like this, Methodists, Presbyterians, people from all walks of life coming together. It's like denominational ties no longer meant anything. There was a pour out of God's Spirit. Then we sit now in a real drought time. It's dry. The new season is coming. God is about to pour out His Spirit in a special way. Turn with me to Amos. Amos chapter 9. On that day, I will raise up the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, and I'll repair its damages. I will raise up its ruins and rebuild it as in the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Edom and all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who does these things. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes, him who sows seed. The mountains shall drip with sweet wine, and all the hills shall flow with it. Then he continues to share how he's going to restore Israel in the land. So this time of end time revival is key to see what God is doing in the nation of Israel. God is about to cause something to happen that there'll be a harvest unprecedented. We'll see a tremendous move of God's Spirit. In James chapter 5, James repeats this, that we need to be patient and wait for the pour out of God's Spirit. Sorry, in Acts 15. Now, the tabernacle of David, which lay in ruins, God's going to restore the tabernacle of David. I was wondering, what is the tabernacle of David? There's the tabernacle of Moses, and there are the five furnitures, and I know in this church you've been taught that well. There are the five pieces of furniture, the altar, the laver, the menorah, the table of showbread, the altar of incense, then the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat. That's the tabernacle of Moses. Then there's the temple. Now, the Bible says God's going to restore the tabernacle of David. And to understand this, we need to know that there was a time when the nation of Israel fought against the Philistines. And the army inquired, where is the Ark of the Covenant? At that time, Eli, Phinehas, and Hophni, his two sons, were the priests. And his sons desecrated the temple. They did what was wrong. They were evil. And they went to Shiloh, where God had spoken to young Samuel, and Hannah had prayed. And they went and got the ark. And when the Ark of the Covenant came to the battlefield, the people roared with a shout. And they were happy. And yay, the ark is here. And you know what happened? They were defeated. I have discovered you cannot organize and bring down God's presence. God's the one that gives the rain. We do what we must do. God's the one that will cause the rain to come. And the nation of Israel was defeated and the ark was captured. And for the rest of the rule of King Saul, the ark was never in Israel. And the Philistines had more respect for the ark, and they were scared for the presence of God. And so in Kiriath Jearim, the ark was placed in the house of Abinadab. And notice how quick I use these words, because I can't pronounce them. And in the house of Abinadab, he had two sons, Ahio and Uzzah. And David inquired, where is the ark? They said, it's in Abinadab's house. He said, let's go get it. So he built himself a brand new ox cart. And it spanned new oxen that had never been spanned. And they went to get the ark. His intentions were right. He went to go and get the ark. And Ahio and Uzzah led the procession because they were used to the ark in the house. And the ox stumbled and the cart went like that. And Uzzah put his hand out to touch the ark and the Lord slayed him. The Bible says that David was angry and scared of the Lord that day. And for months he mourned and he asked God why and what was happening. You know, when I looked at that, Ahio means brotherly, human, man. Ahuzu means strength. And what was happening, it's not by might or by power, but by my spirit. And man reached out to touch God. It doesn't work like it. It's not by power or might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And so David did research and did the thing properly, brought the ark on the staves on the shoulder of the priests, went to collect the ark, and then placed it in a tent in Mount Zion. And that tent was called the Tabernacle of David. David's tabernacle consists just of the Ark of the Covenant. It didn't have any other furniture. It was there temporary. It was there. Now, David had the anointing of prophet, priest, and king upon his life. And when that Ark was there in Mount Zion, he spent incredible amount of time in God's presence. He served and worshipped God. I believe the restoring of the tabernacle of David is going to be us celebrating and understanding and living in God's presence. Out of that flowed a tremendous amount of worship and musical instrumentation. Read Psalm 115, how they worship God with the different instruments and so on. And I'm not saying that we've got to now do research and build certain instruments and worship God with it. I'm saying that restoration of the tabernacle of David is when we come to the place where we fall in love with God again. When we have our first love, when we serve God in spirit and in truth, when we raise our hands and we bless the Lord and we do what is right according to the word of God. When that happens, the word says, I will give you the early and the latter rain. And I believe what happened in the earlier part of the century at Azusa Street, the Pentecostal movement and the charismatic movement, God's going to take them two together and eclipse anything that's ever seen. And the plowman will overtake the sower. There's going to be a mighty outpouring of God's Spirit. I believe it with all my heart. But the time is going to come that the word says God will restore the tabernacle of David in our midst. I'm looking forward to that. Amen. When we come to the house of God, we look again, it's 4 o'clock. We serve the Lord. We serve God by our watches. Amen. Gloria Gaither and William Gaither wrote this song. It's beginning to rain. Rain, rain, hear the voice of the Father, saying, whosoever will come, drink of the water. I will pour out my spirit on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, lift your hand to the sky. It's beginning to rain. I know the Cape Townians, this is moeg van die droogte. It's not fun dancing between 2 drops of water in the shower. To see your flowers dying. It's dry. And I think we must have that same concept and understanding in our lives, in our walk with God. It's dry. But listen to the voice of the Spirit. It's beginning to rain. Do you hear it? It's beginning to rain. When it rains, the land is restored. When it rains, things happen. Where we live in Pringle Bay, there was a fire that ravaged the area. There was a fire in Roy Els, Claremont, all over. In Gordon's Bay. And you see the scars on the mountain. And we're in the drought. And we see it. But I'm going to tell you, it's going to rain. And when it rains, God will restore. Are you hungry today for the rain of God's Spirit in your life? I think we got to stand up and say, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. Here to and no further. As for me and my house, we will serve God. And I think that song that has become a theme in my life, or that expression, somewhere in the future, I look much better than I look right now. Come on, God is going to do it. Don't look at me now. God's busy doing something. And I'm going to look much better than I look right now. Do you believe that? Amen. Let's just stand. God's going to cause rain. I believe it with all my heart. Amen. If you look at your life now, and you're dissatisfied, that's great. Look to the future and say, God is going to do something new and something special. Do you believe that? Yes. Amen. Father, we commit to you today, this land, this country, this dryness, this drought. And Father, there are many voices and many people speaking, but we know one thing. If we do what is right in your sight and love you with all our heart and do your work, you promised you will pour your Spirit out on our sons and our daughters. We give you thanks and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you.